Tom, are you there? We had three ayes, that carries. Tom had no comments, so I'm assuming we're fine on that. Item 3B, the Budget Committee meeting minutes of May 11th, 2021. Are there any questions or corrections on those meeting minutes? Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the May 11th, 2021 Budget Committee meeting minutes.
I second.
Thank you. There's been a motion made to, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the May 11th, 2021 Budget Committee meeting minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I need to abstain because I wasn't there.
Thank you. Motion passes. With one abstention. Item 4A, accounts payable for May 4th, May 15th, and May 31st of 2021. Questions, Tom?
I only have a couple of items that I was curious about. On May 15th, the quality control services and annual calibrations, what devices that were calibrated?
We have all of the items in the lab calibrated once a year.
Okay, thank you. Also, on May 31st, let me see. Yeah, May 31st, Pacific City Homes had two checks on both accounts for roof siding and paint. What facility was that for?
It's many, many facilities. They are going to do several of the small buildings, including the Woods Lift Station and the office building and the help me out, Rochelle. It's the one with the bulbs in it.
They're doing the UV building, too.
UV building. Yeah, thanks. I couldn't remember the name UV. Yeah. Anyway, all of these buildings have a lot of dry rot, including our office building. And we're having the siding repaired and the roof replaced on the...
Is this a prepayment, or...
What?
Is this a prepayment?
Yes, it is a prepayment for materials.
Approximately, do we have a kind of a quote or a guesstimation of what the amount of work is going to cost, or is it just going to get in there and find out?
No. There may be some additional costs, but the quote, we called three contractors. We got two full-on quotes. The other one didn't respond in time. In fact, hasn't responded. This particular quote was the lowest, and we're talking $44,000, but it's several buildings. So it's not a piece of work where we're bidding on one item. We could have had it done one building at a time.
Would it entail, like, labor plus materials? Is that how the contract works?
It was bid at a flat rate unless they went into serious issues. I mean,
that's what I... And normally when you talk about dry rot, you just never know what you find, so you get it all stripped off.
Well, that's true, but we pretty much know how much dry rot there is because we took pieces and looked at it, and we did a survey.
Okay. Oh, thank you then. The last item was also on the 31st where we received... close to $800 back in an overpayment for special districts insurance. How did we do that? How did we overpay?
Well, when we pay, is that workers' comp, Rochelle? Okay, I'll let you handle it.
I was uninformed that one of our employees' children aged out. So we paid for that employee's child, even though they were above age, so now I get a credit back.
Okay, that's perfectly reasonable. I was just like, what the heck, you know? Thank you, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Any other questions? I'll entertain a motion. I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for May 4th, May 15th, and May 31st of 2021.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for May 4th, May 15th, and May 31st of 2021. All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Item 4B, fiscal year report. Any questions or comments for the authority manager? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, the manager's report. Michelle, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So far this year, we've had 14 SDCs come in. Some of those are prepaid, so you're not going to see it on the profit and loss statements that we give out, the budget analysis. We are still abiding by the COVID-19 social distancing. The office is still closed. However, we are making appointments for people that do want to come in and hand us paperwork or sign off on documents. The AMR project is complete with Pleasant Hills Development. We have less than 200 meters to change out. We've been working on that, and they probably did about 100, close to 100 last month. So it should be the next couple months we'll be completely finished, with exceptions of a meter that we can't pull out because it's so large or it's in a precarious position or place. So we will have exceptions for a while. Last month, we took three of the trucks that we own, and we had them outfitted with security lighting, the yellow lights. We've been driving them for years without security on them, and I felt that was dangerous and not according to our policy, so we had one at a time taken into a company in Salem that put those lights on for us. It's much more inexpensive than it used to be, and now it's LED, much more efficient. So they did a really good job.
So, Michelle, just a quick question. When you say security lights, I'm picturing that yellow light that flashes around on top of it.
That's correct.
The side of the road?
Yeah, the front lights flash, the light on the top flashes, the back lights flash. It lets you know that somebody's there. And we haven't had those. And so at night when we have a repair, it's kind of dangerous. So.
Yes, yeah.
So we were about $1,617 a truck.
Money well spent.
Thank you. This annual CCR went out with the billing. That was taken care of. That's our annual report. Oh, and Leonard just sent me a text. Safety lights is what they're called.
Safety lights.
Safety lights. Thank you, Leonard. We had a broken fire alarm.
CCR, for those who don't know, is an abbreviation for
Consumer Confidence Report.
Thank you.
And it's also the same as the annual water quality report. We are sending that in to the Oregon Health Authority tomorrow with a copy.
Right.
So stating that we've done that and showing them a sample of a statement that states right on there, you can check out your consumer confidence report at this website if you want a copy. Please call us and we'll mail you a hard copy.
Great.
We're going to talk about the HR consulting a little bit later in the meeting, so I just skipped that one. A couple of things more. We had a septic tank replacement, which is something we haven't done in Pacific City since mine was done in 2011 or 12. So we had a great training program for the guys to go out and see how you pull an old one out and replace it and get all the lines put back together in the right way. I just want to note that there was some real good training done this month with the younger folk that have never seen it. And last note that I have is that Rochelle did the interim audit on her own. Congratulations, she passed. The only thing that they came to me for in the audit was that there was one board member who had some questions regarding the audit and proof of non-fraudulent handling of things. So I answered their questions and we passed with flying colors. So the interim part of the audit is complete, and Rochelle will complete the final after the fiscal year is over. And have they made an appointment with us yet? Is that August or July? Which one?
Yeah, beginning of August.
August, okay. So she will finish up with them in August. That's all I have on the manager's report.
I noticed, Michelle, there's one item on my list that says something about board meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carolyn. I did forget that. The reports that you received in this board packet, all of the graphs that you have are estimated. None of them are 100% accurate. And I really want the board to understand this, that because we had moved, and we talked about this a little bit last month, because we had moved the dates of the billing to the 31st, and I really don't want to move them back because of customers' confusion, and because we like things to go through the 31st, and I think that's just a norm for most people and companies, we do scramble and work extra to get these out because you want them a day early. And I want you to have them earlier than that to look at, to read, because I know that you guys, some of you are very hardworking. And so my question was going to be to the board, is there any way, instead of the first Tuesday of the month for a board meeting, is there any reason that we couldn't have it on the second Tuesday so that you could get correct and accurate information at the meeting? That's just a question.
Ann? I'm going to jump in and say I can't see why not. And the first week of the month is very busy with a lot of other meetings that some of us listen into or participate in sometimes. So I'm just personally, I kind of feel like it sounds like we'd have more accurate and consistent information. And it would loosen up the schedule a little bit for me personally the first week of the month. I actually would like that change. Don?
Yeah, I mean, if it really helped get us that information faster, it would help me out a lot. I think it's a good idea. I'm totally good with it.
You could have it several days faster.
Tom? Several days more prior to the meeting is what we're saying.
Yes.
I don't really have a problem with changing it myself.
Carolyn? I don't personally either. It's not an issue. It looks like you have a majority with that, Michelle. If you want to check in with Cameron to see if there's any objection there. And if we can Do we want to do that then at the beginning of the fiscal year for July, or do we want to wait until August and give our customers an opportunity to get noticed on their bills that this is going to be an upcoming change?
Well, we put out public notices in the newspaper and that sort of thing about the meeting, so
it would be on their July bill.
I feel as though that would be sufficient, and I'm guessing since Tim is online, it could be that he's maybe finds things in the meeting to write an article about and might mention that too.
Then Michelle, it looks like you've got your positive answer. If you want to check in with Cameron before you make it official.
Do we need a motion? No?
I don't know.
Do we? Well, I will make a motion. It's one of those things it doesn't hurt. But I will move that on the suggestion of staff and to improve information timely provided to board members that we move our monthly meeting to the second Tuesday of each month.
It has been moved and seconded that for two reasons. One, in order for the board to get adequate and or to get more accurate information and to get it earlier to be available to study it better, that we move the board meeting to the second week, second Tuesday of the month. Tom, did you want to comment on that before we call a vote?
Before we call the vote, I just think this is a major change, and not having any kind of communication with Cameron, I think it's, if we go ahead with the vote, I'm going to vote nay, just because, like, he needs to know about it, and I disagree with doing this now.
All right. There is a motion on the table. And forgive my lack of depth of Robert's Rules of Order. Can the person that make the motion withdraw it at this point, if they so choose to?
I could withdraw the motion. I will choose not to. I think that we. There are going to be times when any one of us might, for any reason, not be present at a meeting, and our decisions are made by those that are in attendance at the meeting. So I choose not to withdraw my motion.
All right. I also might add that in conversations I've had with Cameron, he's been very interested in getting the meeting packet earlier, so I think that we would see support for this, but obviously we would want to make sure that all board members are informed. So since there's been a motion and a second, I'll need to call for the vote. So all in favor of said motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Sean, was that a... I didn't hear you.
That was a no.
All right. That leaves this motion at 2-2, which is a tie vote, and we've never experienced a tie vote. So I... oh, dear.
I really don't think this is a big deal. I don't think it needs a motion. I do, however, think we were just talking before we made the motion that Michelle was going to reach out to Cameron to make sure that he didn't have a problem with it. So I don't know that we actually need a motion, but I do think it's fair to reach out to Cameron and just check in with him.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, how about if we let that happen? The motion's not going anywhere because we have a tie vote. So why don't we know that Michelle will reach out to Cameron and plan on being the second week of July, and unless there's a major problem with that.
Anyone object to that?
I do think, Carolyn, I know I've heard Cameron say, too, that he would like to get the board packets earlier. In fact, that's why we started getting them on Thursday. And so I really, from past comments, it seems as though Cameron's going to be all for this idea. But let's check.
Yes, Tom?
Yeah, I think we need to check. He may have a meeting on, you know, or something that he has regularly scheduled on that particular Tuesday. It may work out with the third Tuesday of the month or something. But I don't think we ought to just go ahead and do it without checking him.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if I'm to understand at this point, the board members present at this meeting are in favor of moving the board meeting to the second Tuesday. Because of the absence of one member, we won't do that until we clarify with that member that that works for them also. If moving the meeting to the second Tuesday works for that board member, then we will move forward with that as of the July meeting. If not, then we will take this back up at a discussion at the July meeting at the original date. All right. Thank you, Michelle. Moving on to unfinished business, 6A, the HR assessment. Michelle?
Well, we talked at the last board meeting, and the board suggested that I go out and look for an HR person, and they wanted surveys done of the staff, and I did that. I found an HR person. She's not in Oregon. She's in Washington, actually. But I liked her approach. I liked her fees, and I thought she had some really good ideas, so we hired her, and the surprise was that she said how critical it was that we do this within a five-day period. If we have a crisis going on, that things can't be held up. And so I explained to her the story. Well, it's been held up for a little while, but she said, no, we're not, you know, if you're going to hire me, we're not going to wait. She says, my philosophy is that I want to talk to each and every of the employees to find out why they're still there. Why didn't they leave? Why did they not go away when you felt you had a threat of four of them leaving? So if she calls, it is, and she does this for other companies too, for people that aren't saying they're leaving. It's just for everybody. But it's called a stay interview. So she, within 24 hours, had everybody's email and their phone numbers, and she emailed them all and set up appointments, and they all had their iPads, and they knew that if they set up an appointment, they could go to the conference room, they could go to their car, they could go anywhere that was private and have a conversation with her. And it turns out that the shortest conversation was 40 to 45 minutes, and the longest conversation was an hour and 20 minutes. She interviewed each person individually, and she sent me a survey of each individual, and this is her compilation of her recommendations to the company. She did feel that although we did have an incident with the last manager, that incident didn't affect us long term because he left. He decided to leave. She felt that we had people wanting to leave because of the disrespect. And after talking to each individual employee as soon as the issue was over, and of course most of this came from the Pleasant Hill contract, when the issue was over, everybody calmed down, knew their job, was doing their job. So these are the the recommendations based on her, and then I gave you a one-page comment page stating that, yes, we are We are going to do a lot of them. There are a few that we don't feel we need to. She hadn't delved in so deep to know what the day-to-day training was or the job descriptions, but she did help me quite a bit with three of the job descriptions already, the ones that we have posted for jobs that are open. So she's already assisted me there. She will stay on as a consultant. I did ask her to help us find the staff for the open positions, and I felt it was extremely reasonable that she's charging $300 a month, and the service that she uses that goes to all of the job placement places is $200 a month. So I felt really good, and I felt really good when I got the surveys back. There's some things we have to work on, there's no doubt. But I'm pleasantly surprised that there are things that we can do. They're not out in left field that the company can't do. Sean?
I would just like to say that I think this was fantastic idea, and thank you very much for doing this and doing it so quickly and doing it so thoroughly. I think it's exactly what was needed, and I'm very ecstatic that you did this, and I thought that the information you provided us was really valuable, so thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Appreciate that very much.
I concur with Sean there. It kind of reinforced some of the things I thought happened or could have happened. And a couple of her recommendations surprised me or I didn't think about. And the biggest one that kind of caught my eye was a blanket statement early in her comments about we've operated for a long period of time.
Why, Tom's offline for the moment. Anne, do you have any comments you want to add?
Well, I just would concur with Sean and Tom in terms of the speed with which you did this, the care and attention to detail in the process. Oh, Tom, you're back. Do you want to continue?
Yeah, I think it gave us some interesting data that we need to modernize our policies a little bit and give a little more attention. Modern HR policies in the 21st century.
Michelle?
Thank you. Tom, I think you're right. You know, I had talked about a month and a half ago at a meeting about revising the employee handbook, and I got a manual from Bowie that given me all the current laws and regulations, and it's pretty bland and it's pretty vague. It doesn't have all of the HR policies that we could be running with. And I said something about having a harassment policy in our new handbook. We already have one. We do have one. But our policies are still out of date. And one of the things that I sent over to this woman is our current handbook. So she's read it. She's looked at it, and then I sent her a template from SDAO of a new handbook that they have just put out. It would take me months and months and months to put those two together and make the correct policy changes by law. And I have talked to her. I don't have a quote back, but I have talked to her about doing that for us, and I think it's critical to have an HR person do that, not me. Not Leonard. Although I think we're a great team and we could do this, it would take us forever long, cost us too much money, and it still may not be correct. So I think that if we could hire her to do this, and then send it over to our attorney for approval, I think we'd be much better off.
I would agree, Michelle, and then it would be done.
Yes.
And we could move on to other things.
Yes.
And I'm back to you before I continue.
Yeah, I agree with that completely, and back to just complimenting you on the entire process.
No.
The review that she gave and your comments on it, I think is, it brings some really sharp focus to these issues, which have not been at the forefront for our years together. So
that's true.
And they do need to be. It's time for them to be. And it's going to be in the authority manager's bailiwick to pull these things off and keep the board informed. And the only other thing I would say about the employee manual is we might consider, or you might consider, some sort of regular schedule for revisiting that so that it is routinely updated.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we could just build that into the culture so that we don't get in this position again. Because
right.
I know it's hard work to do the employee handbook. You've done it before, and it's...
I have, and it's hard.
You're not an person. So I think this is completely moving in the right direction. I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Tom?
The other thing I noticed, and I agree with, is most people working for a company or an organization like ours don't realize their total compensation.
Yeah.
And when you spell out dollars and cents, what you thought was a $40,000 a year job is really, pretty close to, a $55,000 a year job because of the benefits. The example that she gave us, I think, is a good one to show our employees. The only other thing that I would add to that type of a pamphlet would be to also show in there.
I wish Tom were here because I have a response for that.
He's coming back.
While we're waiting for Tom to come back so we don't get too sidetracked, I echo our other director's comments on this project, and I really appreciate not only your timeliness with this and getting it moving forward, but that you added your comments in with where you were headed with this. That was very helpful to see to make this able to move forward. Tom, please continue.
The last thing, I don't know if you heard or not, but one thing I'd like to add to that template is what our employer costs are. The taxes that we pay, also the workman's comp,
okay.
Unemployment insurance, that sort of thing. They can see that we actually contribute a considerable amount of money just to have them as employees, not just their wages and benefits.
I understand that, and I would agree with you because I know that. But I will tell you that I've had conversations not only at this company but previous companies when I've done this kind of thing, and I had to do it at the last company I worked for. If they don't get it, and it's never a benefit to them, it might be a benefit to their spouse, or if they lose it when they leave, they don't always see it as a benefit. So we have to be extremely insightful and careful about pushing this type of message. We have to be insightful to what they think is important, not just dollars. So I might put employer costs in there, and I might say life insurance, but they don't always see it that way. So I may modify this to a different level so they understand what they are getting day to day or year to year out of it. Even though it's a benefit, we all know it, see it, and it's there if they need it, but if it doesn't always come across that way. So we have to be careful. So I want to be very cautious about doing this and doing it in a way. Sorry, I lost you, Tom, but I need to do this in a way that is understandable and is with dollars that they actually see as a benefit. If I tell them all these things that are truly a benefit, but they don't see it, they're just going to think I'm blowing smoke for some reason. So I have to be careful.
Well, the truth is the truth. Facts are facts.
I understand that. I understand everybody has a different perception as well. So facts, my perception is totally different than yours. And my perception is my reality, so I have to be cautious.
I think one thing, Michelle, that you've alluded to also is sharing total compensation is also an educational process.
Absolutely.
And where you start with it and where you end up with it in several years may be a part of a growth to educate everybody.
Yeah, I could start out small and grow it as we go, but for right now I'm probably going to downsize it from her scale a little bit. But I believe in it. I love it.
Great starting point.
Any other questions or information on the HR assessment that we need to discuss?
Sean?
Yeah, there's a couple of things I just want to throw out, and I'm not sure where the appropriate place to discuss these things are, but and whether or not it's really on the board level, but there's two things that I think are really interesting in here. One is, well, there's a lot of things I think are interesting in here, but two maybe might need some further discussion. One, there's a great reset going on right now, and I think that we're going to have to really look at our pay scale, and given what's been going on in the last year with the pandemic, and given that we're in a small town, we may need to look at moving into some of the higher ranges of those pay brackets that we have instead of the lower ranges if we're going to get and retain employees. And if we do that, then we ought to do a whole reset for the entire organization. So it's just something I think we need to be, bottom line is it's coming down to supply and demand. And if we can't get people to work for us, maybe we need to raise our hourly rates and make them more attractive. You have a question?
Comment. I agree. We did interview somebody today for Wastewater 3, and I think for him it's based on wages. He doesn't have a bad job. He does live on the coast. It would create a move, and I might have to talk to the board about helping him move if he were ever to accept it. But I think you're absolutely right. We've also, we did hire an operator in training. We offered a job. He's not hired. We offered a job to an operator in training. He has to go through all of the rigmarole. But we have not been able to get the higher end people to even apply because of our wages.
Yeah, and so that, that kind of leads to the second thing, which is, A, based on our current wages, and B, probably even based on a scenario where we increase our wages, there's no place for people to live, not at the kinds of wages that we're paying for these positions. So I think we need to reexamine that 20-minute rule as well.
We are.
With that, okay.
Good. We are. Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've looked at the person that we're trying to hire is 30 minutes away. And that's an operator in training. Obviously, if I were in the hiring process of an authority manager, I would go much further for them to find a house to buy. Wastewater 3, if I found somebody that was interested and really wanted to come here, I would talk to the board because it's just not going to happen, that we're going to find somebody local that finds housing. So I agree with you, Sean.
I think that there's, I mean, just to give you an idea, I don't know how many of you have seen this, but, you know, Hot Creek Cafe is offering a $5,000 bonus if you commit to working through October. I mean, you know, servers and you know, wait staff people are making now 18 to 20 bucks an hour plus tips, and that's an increase of 10 bucks an hour in the last couple months. I mean, it's, there's a huge reset going on right now, and if we really want to get people, I think we need to take a good hard look at what our pay scales are, both for new employees and for retaining the ones that we have. Thank you for listening.
Tom?
I think you're on the right track, Sean. I mentioned here a month or so ago about these pay scales. I think we ought to be looking at what the Valley offered.
He did mention that a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I remember that too, Michelle.
Yeah, and we should, but you know, it's the same time, supply and demand might just very well dictate that independently of what anybody else is paying. I mean, there's, well, I assume that we will get to a point at which we will be attractive to people. So
this losing contact here, it only happens with this particular application. I use two others for different conference calls, and it's just Blue Jeans that I keep cutting out for some reason. So but nonetheless, I think we ought to look elsewhere besides just the coastal communities.
Oh, we're looking all over. I mean, the one guy we wanted to hire and offered a job to was in California.
Wow, good.
Oh, yeah,
that's not what I meant.
You mean wages. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I was referring to.
Okay.
We're taking a look at wages.
Yeah.
And total compensation package. Like Sean pointed out, maybe we need to get a little creative. Like maybe have, this is just out there left field, but maybe offer a, you know, some place to go and exercise, one of those kind of places. I don't know where we'd have anything like that, but they're doing it, that kind of thing, left and right. Free golf lesson. Gee, I don't know.
Well, I hear you, Tom, and I think that we've got an authority manager right now that is extremely creative, and we'll monitor this as we move through it and bring any idea that looks like it's going to work back to the board. Because I think Michelle's goal is to get those positions full and have us move forward in an organized way.
No.
Free surfboards.
Free surfboards.
Ann, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, I'm just agreeing.
All right. Then I'll move on. 6B, unfinished business, the Horn Creek Internet.
Well, I went to a board meeting of the WAVE with Doug Olson, and he invited me to the board meeting. And he was kind enough to let me go first to speak about our situation and how we needed high-speed internet. And the WAVE said, you know, it could be possible they would have to shut down that whole line coming from the Valley to here to pull off a few cords. They don't call them cords, but pull off a few lines to send it down to Horn Creek and run the whole system down to the south. And it's extremely complicated. And so they asked me, before I continued with them, to look at satellite. So I'm looking at satellite. The company I'm looking at is running satellite dishes all over town. Pat Herleman has one on his hardware store, and they're selling 100 meg internet services, but you, and the funny thing is that the school district is involved. However, they're using a different installer. There was some disagreements on installing stuff. So the school district and I have a meeting on Friday that if we could put a tower up somewhere, either the 300K or the 600K, we could get satellite direct service to Horn Creek. We wouldn't have to pay a bill because we would help other people in the public. We would be on a firewall, so it wouldn't affect Horn Creek. We would be protected. And there may be small costs to $3,000 to $5,000 costs to the top for the tower. So there's a lot of research that still needs to be done. It's on the infancy stages. I don't want to say it's going to happen. I am going to talk to the school and see if we can help the school as well, because this program is for all kids getting internet access. So that's where it started. So I'm working on it. If I'm not giving up the fiber optics. I'm not giving it up. It's the same speed, but it's hardwired. So, yeah, Sean?
Marvin, do we have fiber optic at the main office of the...
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
Kind of popped into my head as we were discussing this from something that I looked into a long time ago, but there might be another option, which is using microwave. So there are microwave relays, and if we have line of sight from...
Oh, this is what I'm talking about.
That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm calling it satellite. You're talking it microwave. It's a line of sight. It's a line of sight, like tower, that goes from one place to another place to another place. Yes, that's what we're talking about.
So you could do line of sight between Horn Creek and the 200,000K reservoir site.
600K?
You'd have lot, or 600K, and then you have line of sight down to the office, right?
Or Pat Herleman's got it. So it's, we don't have a tower on our building, but we could put one. We could definitely put a tower on our building, but it is line of sight. And that's the key, the whole thing is about this. However, you have to have power somewhere. Each tower has to have some power. So if we had it at our building, that's perfect. We have it at Horn Creek, that's perfect. At the 600K, we have DC power, but not AC power. We talked about putting a converter in, or we talked about using, Leonard, you out there? Give me the name. What is it when you put it on your roof? It's power. Nobody's going to help me.
Solar?
Yes, solar. Thank you. Thanks, Leonard. Solar power. Yeah, we talked about that too. However, when the power goes out, obviously, you lose internet. But even the only reason we have internet at the office is because we have generators. So that is the only reason we keep our T1. At Horn Creek, we have a generator, and that would take care of them. We could put a generator up wherever we have a tower, but we have to have generator. And there would also be some battery backup, but I think battery backup's about an hour.
The 300,000K reservoir site, does that have line of sight to Horn Creek?
We think it's real close. I mean, it's so darn close, I'd want to try and cut down some, top some trees. It's really close. I mean, I just want to go top the trees and find out without even, you know. It's close.
Yeah, but so you could definitely do it. I mean, I talked to Postcom about that when we were looking at doing it here.
Yeah.
It's definitely doable if you've got money assigned. Yeah, it's doable.
That's where we're at. So it's a process. We're in the middle of it.
Michelle, while we're in the middle of that, I know that part of the RMPP lease had us putting a SCADA or similar tower on the top part of the BLM land to communicate with a number of our sites. And if we're going to look at this microwave technology, we might want to also think about other things that need to connect rather than just Horn Creek as we're moving down the road on this.
That's true. However, I don't think it's the same frequency. And I'm not sure that they would pan out together, but it's worth talking about. Yeah. But yeah, I agree.
So a work in progress.
Forever.
Comments.
Yeah. Heating airflow?
Yes, please.
We got 3 bids to replace the 20-some-year-old furnace in the attic of the building. And we're not only replacing it, but we're expanding air. The Tony Allen office never had heat, or it had heat, but it was a little tiny cadet heater that we've never turned on and we're afraid to. So it never had air. And the conference room we have it, and the lab we've never had pressure. In the whole office we've never had pressure. So we had 3 bids come in, and Holtner Heating was hired to do a heat pump and leave the furnace up above, put in the new ducts where they needed to be put, include air conditioning, and have fresh air delivered to the whole building. And that's kind of a COVID issue as well. They should start at the end of June, 1st of July.
And I just quick question. I'm not sure I could hear you correctly. Who did you say got the contract?
Holtner. Intelman.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, P&L and Gross Gates were also looked at. We have all their quotes.
Okay. I think in the short term because of COVID, but more importantly in the long term, I think that supporting the health of our employees and public that come into the office, but mainly the employees because you're there all the time, this is going to be a major step forward and probably needed to be done anyway. So
well, yeah, we are replacing the furnace upstairs that needed to be replaced, but the heat pump will make it much more efficient, will save money,
and the air exchange will do a lot for avoiding flus and colds and that sort of thing in the wintertime when the windows are shut too. So kudos. Glad to know this is moving forward.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Great, thanks, Michelle. Item 6D, master plan. We discussed this at the last meeting. People had questions and so forth, and we were to submit our comments to Michelle. Are there any further questions or issues that the board wants to raise at this point? John?
Yeah, I'll just say in general, I just kind of this week finally finished going through and making all my notes and reading everything. And I apologize it took so long, but I really ended up spending a lot of time on the earthquake stuff and had to do a fair amount of outside research to get my mind wrapped around that section. So I've started writing it up, and I'll get it to you as soon as I can. But at least now I've made it through, and I'm starting to write up my notes for you.
Thank you.
Tom?
You mentioned, I believe it was last month, Michelle, that you were going to work on the projects and rearrange priority. that and you were going to submit. Before you send that draft in, I'd like to see what you guys came up with as far as priorities.
Okay. I'll send out a list. I might as well send it to the board.
Thank you. That'd be great. And so Michelle, just so I understand, what you're going to send us is what the staff's rethinking of the project list as it was presented that would go to the engineers much the same as any of board member comments would.
Yeah.
And then the engineers would review all of that and come back to us with a second draft. Am I understanding the process correctly?
That's correct. I mean, right now we're working on the draft itself. So we have the opportunity right now to say, hey, that project, I know you feel it's necessary and this was the information you were given, but we seriously think it should go behind another project.
So there's going to be some back and forth there.
I don't think some back and forth. I think that they just had, I think it's our decision as far as knowing our system. I mean, they may punt back with a few that says there's a reason that we did this first or second. You're right, there might be. But for the most part, our guys know more than anybody what is really failing right now. And it's the next 5 years that's critical.
I agree with that, and I think the staff priorities are going to take precedence. But I also think that when the board members receive this list, we need to have in mind that this is part of the drafting process.
Oh, yeah, it is part of the drafting process, yes.
And there is a conversation going on with a professional engineering firm that we've hired, and so I would not want to get that
organized
list.
No, you're correct.
That's it. That's the way it's going to be.
No, I step back. You're correct. You're correct.
Yeah, and if I can add to that, this is an engineering report for which we've had some input as to what's going on our site that the engineers might not understand, but it is an engineering report. If that engineering report gets finalized and comes back to the board, and the board, based on information from staff and discussion, decides that something needs to be a priority in a different way, then the board makes that decision.
Right.
So we don't necessarily follow, but the board and staff at this point do not dictate or tell the engineers how to write this report.
No, not at all. And I didn't mean to infer that. I did not. And we've never actually followed a master plan. If you look back at the last one or the update, we did not follow it.
We followed it in theory, but we made different decisions relative to our financing and our need.
Right.
Yes. Great. All right, it sounds like you're going to get some additional comments and you're going to get the board a copy of the recommended project order at this point. Any other questions or comments? All right, moving on to the board workshop. We discussed at the last board meeting that the board wanted to do a workshop with Rob Mills with regards to communication and trust. I talked with Rob on May 18th. And he is very interested in working with this board. He says that he has appreciated his time with us prior to this. He needed to let us know that he is no longer with SDAO, that he has resigned from his position as a consultant there, and that is due to a number of reasons. However, he is still doing this kind of work with companies that he has relationships with and other new companies, so that he would be working with us as an independent contractor. His rate would be $80 an hour plus half of that for travel time. And he is feels that this kind of work that we're looking to do has to be done in person. So he would like to wait until we are back to in-person meetings, and then he would be happy to work with us. And he would like to make sure that all board members are present. He doesn't feel it can be done with one absent. And I would tend to agree with all of those pieces. So would the board like us to move forward with this and have him submit the paperwork so that we can get started on the process and be ready as soon as we're meeting again in person? Ann?
So the paperwork you're referring to would be drafting of a contract leaving.
Yes, the contract
but calling out what the mutual expectations were, roughly what the time frame would be for the actual event itself,
yes.
And then the specific date to be set at some point in the future.
Quite frankly, I have misgivings all the way around about this at this point. I'm just leaving it at that.
Anybody else want to weigh in?
I mean, I'd be curious to hear what Tom's thoughts are, but I still think it's important that whether it's Rob Mills or somebody else, we have some sort of a workshop that focuses on how the board can better communicate and better work together, and especially sort of understanding how you take and put five crazy people on the same page on something. So I still think it's worth moving forward.
Tom, you're back. Sean wanted to hear more about why you thought the way you did when you made your most recent comment.
Well, because it's been cutting in and out, I think we were talking about the board workshop and Ryan. Is that correct?
No, this is the board workshop with Rob Mills.
Tom, this was the one that was a workshop on how the board could better communicate with each other and how we can kind of bring five completely different personalities together to function better as a board, kind of the antithesis of what we were talking about doing with Ryan, where that was focused more on the employees and the HR assessment. This would be a board workshop focusing on how the board could work better together.
Have we used Rob before? Have I met him?
I believe
okay.
So, Tom.
Okay, I misunderstood where we were. I'm okay with that.
All right, great. Then I will move forward with that, and we'll look forward to getting together in person when that's available.
It seems to me the major difference here is that we had kind of all agreed in concept that this was a good thing to do, and Rob Mills, we had good experience with him. The major difference at this point is he's no longer on the consulting team for SDAO, so we're looking at a charge that we would pay for his time. I'd like to address that. I think we did have a good relationship with him, a good working relationship with him. I think the fees are acceptable, and I would like to see us go ahead because we do already have that good relationship with him. I think it would be money well spent.
Thank you, Ann. Sean?
Kind of further Tom's thought process there. You know, we have been talking back and forth about an HR assessment with Ryan Fleming, and then he kind of let us know that there was sort of an indefinite delay on his end. And I mean, I was really excited to see that, you know, Michelle took the bull by the horns and went with an HR consultant. And I think that's kind of going down the path that I envisioned that Ryan Fleming would take us down. So, you know, I don't see right now in urgency with continuing to try to figure something out with Ryan Fleming. So
I would agree. Okay, I see head nods. Great. Going to unfinished business item F, with regards to our community meeting that we want to have at some point, when we were looking at focusing that potentially around the master plan. At this time, it looks like things with COVID are improving, but we're not there yet. We're still under the emergency designation, and we're still in the green zone. So hopefully when we get out of those particular parameters, we'll be able to immediately move and make some changes.
A question on that. So is it our expectation that what is going to be our trigger for sort of going back to having in-person meetings? Is it going to be the governor no longer extending the state of emergency, or is it going to be when she talks about potentially losing some restrictions at the end of June? I mean, what's our trigger going to be for that? What it looks like, and based on what's on the OHA's website, that once Oregon hits 70% first dose vaccinations, she's going to lift most restrictions, but she's not going to lift, masking and social distancing in the workplace. So, what's our trigger for getting people back into in-person meetings?
And I would have the same question, Sean, and I think we've all been watching this for, 18 months now, and it seems to me premature for us to try to set a trigger, because every time you try to set an expectation, something comes out of left field and it's done differently than you ever expected it would be. So it's almost like I don't know how to answer that question until, maybe the emergency order is dropped, or I just don't know how we'll know. I think when we know, we'll know, and we can make a decision at a meeting to go forward and do something differently. That's my kind of gut feeling about it.
Interesting I agree with you. I don't think we can make any kind of a decision right now, but I think we ought to be prepared for having to make a decision. And I think we should be prepared to not have clear guidance, because that has been par for the course so far. And so my expectation is there will be conflicting recommendations. And so I think it's important for us to all start thinking about the fact that we may have to make a decision on this, because the state of Oregon has punted a lot on this, and they have tried very hard not to make concrete decisions. And so we may have to have our own trigger mechanism.
Well, and I think it's good for that reason that we have this on the agenda each month, and we just see where we are at the time of the next meeting, and we make a decision. Everybody come to the meeting with thoughts on the subject, and we discuss it and make the decision. So I don't know how to do anything else. All right, thank you. We'll keep that on the agenda. Keep our fingers crossed and think about options we might have to help move that along. Item 7A, or 7, new business. Michelle, before we go into the individual resolutions, do you want to just share a little bit about why this is there?
Sure. I made a mistake. I made a good one. I looked up an old resolution, and I didn't go to the new ORS and didn't verify it, and I was wrong. And I sent the resolution over to the auditors, Normally I would send it to him first, but I sent it to him afterwards. And I have egg on my face. It was the old ORS that this 2102 followed is no longer in existence. And the new ORS 479 is in existence. So everything that you see on the resolution for 2103, with the exception of one line, which is B4, is right directly out of ORS. So B4 says that any contract between $25,000 and $150,000, even though I have to have three quotes on everything, anything over $10,000, anything over 10, I have to have three quotes. That's a given. But I wrote in there if it was between $25,000 and $150,000 that I needed board approval. That is not what the state says. State doesn't say that. The state says that between $10,000 and $150,000, if you have three quotes, you're fine. But I knew that the board wanted to approve large purchases. I'm not sure that $25,000 is the right amount, but that's the amount I put it in this resolution to have a discussion about. But everything else is directly from the ORS 479 A and B.
Any questions from the board? All right. Ann, did you have a question?
My understanding, and I'm trying desperately to get the resolution in front of me, and I'm mixed up my items here. But my understanding was that the limit that the authority manager could spend without board approval was a PCJWSA policy. That was not a result of Oregon revised statutes and Oregon law.
There
I see a distinction between the two, and I want to make sure that we...
Well, there is a distinction. Oregon state law says that any state agency, any agency, can spend up to $10,000 without having quotes. They can spend between $10,000 and $150,000 if they have three quotes. That's what the ORS says. And what I added to that was that the manager could spend up to $10,000 without quotes, and the manager could spend between $10,000 and $25,000 with quotes, and anything above $25,000 needed board approval and quotes.
Okay, and that's what I can't get this thing in front of me. But so basically, the bottom line is we still have our policy that anything over $25,000 needs board approval.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I think historically PCJWSA has been very fiscally conservative in that the law doesn't require us to have double signatures on all checks. We do. And this is another case where we want board approval for spending.
Yeah.
Michelle, you mentioned earlier you sent the draft over to the auditors after...
Sorry, Tom.
And while we're reclaiming Tom on the phone, I finally got the resolution 2103 in front of me, and I finally see that item 4 you were talking about. And so,
does that make you happy? Okay, Tom.
Well, it satisfies my curiosity. Yes.
Okay, I sent the resolution to the auditors with when they had a question about something, and it was after it was approved, and they sent it back to me and said that I had a problem with the resolution in that I needed quotes on everything over $10,000. That was their only concern. And that made me go back to the ORS and rewrite the whole resolution following the ORS and making it more succinct and clear to the ORS.
Did you send the revised resolution to the auditors before it was
Yes, approved? I did. They have seen it, okay. And they have no questions about it. Yes, I have.
Okay, thank you.
I wouldn't bring it to you.
That was my only question.
I don't want to go through that again.
All right, then. So I'm open to a motion regarding rescinding the resolution 2102.
I will make a motion that we rescind resolution 2102 in the matter of adopting public contracting and purchasing policy and procedures.
I'll second. It has been moved and seconded that we rescind resolution 21-02 in the matter of adopting public contracting and purchasing policy and procedures. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I'll entertain a resolution on 2103.
I move that the board adopt resolution 21-03 in the matter of adopting public contracting and purchasing policy and procedures.
I'll second. It has been moved and seconded that we adopt resolution 21-03 in the matter of adopting public contracting and purchasing policies and procedures. All in favor, signify by aye.
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 All opposed, motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item 8. Do we have any guest questions or comments, Michelle?
No.
All right. Item 9, director comments. Anne?
I would just like to compliment Michelle and the entire staff for the work that's getting done. And I have a feeling that there are things getting done that we're not necessarily seeing in the meetings because they might consider them small and routine things, but I'm just feeling very, very confident, and I just wanted to say that out loud.
Hear, hear. Tom?
Here a few months ago, I made a question about how many empty lots we had in our community, and Carolyn did a little research for me through the Citizen Advisory Committee and their report that came out in 2019 referenced an inventory of vacant lots, that turned out to be 49 commercial lots and 466 residential lots. And that inventory was taken in November of 2017. And that, so here we are 4 years later. I would assume that there's probably a decline in those numbers of 10 to 15%. That's just a guess, but it's 4 years, so. The only comment I had.
Thank you, Tom. Anne?
Michelle, didn't we have a point at which that our engineering firm did an update of that CAC inventory based on building permits or something through the county? I have a vague recollection of that happening.
I don't know if they did it through 2017, but I have the original list, and I think I went through it and started marking them as they were sold and built, but I would have to go back a year or two, but 400 doesn't seem like enough. It seems low to me, but it could be right. But
it was 466 and 49 commercial lots.
So well, 49 sounds right, but 466 sounds a little low, but I'll see what I got. I'll see what I have.
I think the difference may come in that in the count, the Meyerstein property may have been counted as one.
Well, it could be.
Whereas there are other counts where they've looked at the lots and thought about zoning and how many houses could be on them, and that it may be more of potential houses in some counts as opposed to just vacant lots.
True.
Well, I'll say when we did the original land inventory through the, I can't remember if it was CPAC or CAC at that point, when we did the original land inventory, we just looked at the tax lot. We did not look at the potential division or potential build out. We just said that tax lot is not developed.
Right.
And we made a conscious decision to do that because you could get into a spider web on every single lot if you tried to anticipate all the different possibilities, conditional use and that sort of thing. So we had to make that decision to keep it simple. So, and I don't recall, frankly, if the Meyerstein property, yes, it had to have been in the inventory. Because the inventory was done of the community boundary. It was not done of the PCJWSA boundary. And we need to make sure when we're talking about land inventory that we keep those two things separate because they are not identical.
Good point.
Yes. If memory serves, I think you're right. I think it was CAC, but it seems like those boundaries represented what was in the fire department's boundaries. Is that correct? And not just
no.
The water department?
No, it was the Pacific City Woods. I'm going to get the language mixed up, but unincorporated community boundary. Or unincorporated urban community boundary. There's very specific language about how this community's boundaries are established by the county, and that's what we were studying.
Okay, thank you.
Because that was the jurisdiction of the CPAC.
Right.
Any other director comments? All right, then. I believe that it is 6:27 and we are adjourned. Thank you so much and good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Hey.
Good night.
I'll see you, Zane.
Good night, Julie.